Taking your emails and taking your calls. Ignorant and uninformed.
And let's go ahead and get it started.
Yeah.
Let's get it started in here.
Yeah.
Yay!
I just want to say that I'm pleased that we spent an entire podcast, basically all of last week, talking about like things that were good and things that we are happy about. And so I just want to say, I think that's fucking rad, and I appreciate you guys.
With a slight dip into Star Wars territory, but we always know how those go. And I did that. I brought it up on purpose.
Did you? You brought up Dune.
Well, I was in comparison to Dune and like,
oh,
how like I get excited with, you know, Jeff before Star Wars stuff comes out, and then we always end up like shitting on it because it's terrible. Damn it.
Yeah, you know you can't say the SW around Jeff or it's gonna get bad.
Yeah.
That word?
It's kind of a compliment sandwich of an episode. You know what I mean? It was like positive, positive, positive. And we just put it's an open face compliment sandwich. It was just good, positive stuff. And then it was like, oh, wait. Yeah, there's still Star Wars is still disappointing us, but Dune's going to be great.
Yeah. Oh, there's still things to disappoint us. That's fine.
Still many things. Many things can disappoint. But that's not what we're here to do. We're not going to disappoint with another episode coming to you live from beautiful Keystone, Colorado, Breckenridge, Colorado, and Silverthorne, Colorado. Via the magic of the interwebs, we are your hosts, Mr. Jeff Space Jesus Watson.
What up?
Mr. Max Sarakistan Sarak.
Is this going to be self-development half hour?
Sure, we can talk about that.
Let's grow, boys. Let's grow.
And I am Ben Hollywood Whitmore. And we were talking earlier about, we're just all having a pretty good time. I've been talking with my mom's, who is a therapist, and is reading this very interesting book. And it sort of got me thinking about some things. And I started meditating and sort of reading this book and reading some articles. And
what is this book?
The book is called When Your Body Says No. And it's
like
called
it.
It's called the Stress Disease Relation.
Oh,
that's the subtitle.
I assume about cortisol, but continue.
Yes, so it talks very much about that and sort of emotion suppression as a response, and then the physical stressors that can appear because of that. And when I was a kid, when I was in middle school, I developed what was diagnosed as inflammatory bowel disease, which is the cousin of Crohn's disease. That's a like lifelong terminal diagnosis. It's like, no,
chronic.
You have
that. I don't know about terminal.
Chronic. But... Yeah, sorry. Chronic. That's the word.
I mean, we're all terminal. Let's be honest.
Also true. Also fair.
Technically, every diagnosis
birth
is
a terminal diagnosis. Yes. Okay,
yeah, sorry. Chronic. It's a chronic diagnosis. And I have somehow beat the odds, and I have been symptom-free for 20-some-odd years now, which is great. But
yeah, man.
At the time, it was a misdiagnosis. I think it was like internal stressors of and going through puberty and
I think
all the things that happened. But
my understanding of IBS is that like it is the catch-all for like, hey, something's wrong down there, and like it's not a specific like one thing as much as it's like, oh yeah, if something's wrong with your guts, this is what we call
it. Ulcerative colitis is a form of inflammatory bowel disease, the other being Crohn's disease. Inflammatory bowel syndrome is different. So this is the things that I learned at 13.
Just what you want in middle school.
Continue. Yeah. So what they did, and so it was sort of weird. They put me on like, I was on prednisone for like 3 years.
Really?
So like, yeah. Oh yeah. I was on like steroids, and there was a drug called Asacol that was like I was taking so much medication.
I was under the impression prednisone was something you weren't supposed to be on very much, and definitely not for very long.
Yeah.
Fucks you up.
No, man, those kidneys. Yeah. He had them young kidneys. He's fine.
Okay. Young kidneys. So I had to have, I was 13 and getting colonoscopies twice a year. And, it was basically like the lining of your intestines has a natural cycle where your body gets rid of it. Mine was on like hyperactive shedding itself every 8 days. Yeah. You know, so it was just like, so they told me, I remember being like, by the time that when I was, you know, 13, 14 at this point, and the doctor told me, he was like, well, by the time you're 20, you're going to have the colon of an 80-year-old. And I was like, what? So, yeah. So, but I think a lot of that was, so this is sort of leads me into like how I was started unpacking stuff was like my own up here shit, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it was, I had this thought the other day. I was like, man, I am really bad at conflict. Like conflict avoidance is a thing I think that has defined my life for a long, long time. I like to the point where it explains a lot of like my sense of humor, I think that became a coping mechanism. It's very self-deprecating. You know, I'm, you know, the, just to relieve the tension. And I was always the funny kid. And, you know, again, to like sort of diffuse those situations because they could potentially lead to confrontation or conflict. And those are two things that I'd never wanted anything to do. And that was sort of my, so I started unpacking like family stuff. And I was like, that was kind of my role in the family, was like to be the good kid, to make my parents proud of me, to, you know, be the not problem kid. Right. Sure. Not that my sister was a huge problem, but she was always more struggling than my perception is that she was struggling more than I was. But, you know, so it was just sort of this like, and so I sort of came across this idea of like, that is my like default is that I will do anything and everything to avoid a potential conflict. Like, and that's one of the reasons I don't like confrontation, and it's still triggering to me in many ways. Sorry, I was checking on the dog. You know, like so it's but then I started thinking about it. I was like, okay, I don't think I ever recall a lot of confrontation in my family life. Like we didn't argue. I'm sure there were times when we would yell at each other or something, but even that was very rare. There was always a problem, but if I was upset about something, it became this internalization of it. It was never expressed. Right. Sure. So I think that led to a lot of those like internal biological stressors and, you know, cortisol and all that good stuff, just getting like crammed down. And apparently I just shoved all of those feelings into my colon and that just gave me all these weird digestion problems growing up.
No, and I think, go ahead.
No, that's all. And then I think that was just sort of kind of eye-opening, like the physical, the mind-body connection. What? Imagine that. But
yeah, it's as if the brain is part of the body. Weird.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was thinking of like, you know, like trying to work on not being afraid of confrontation and expressing myself and my needs and, you know, taking up space, which is ultimately what I learned, was to try to take up as little space as possible. And then apologizing for taking up space, right? Like, oh, sorry, you know,
for having me
apologize. I overly apologize all the time. You guys know this about me. And, you know, yeah, for like,
yeah,
for having needs. I'm sorry. I have needs. I'm sorry that I'm here. I'm sorry that, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like that kind of messes with your mindset after a while. And it messes with your level of, self-actualization and self, what I had, there was another friend and I was thinking about this the other day and I can't remember exactly what he said. Oh, self-worth. He said, Ben, you have a great self-confidence, but you have a very low self-worth. And this was in high school. And I was like, wow. And then I came back to that just recently and I was like, holy fuck. I think that's right. Like, I don't think I have a lot of self-worth because I mean, I do, but I never externalize it. You know what I mean? And it's like,
sure.
Which is weird for me because I'm a very generally considered to be a quite gregarious, extroverted person.
Well, it depends on your company, I think.
Oh, it absolutely does. Stuff.
Because for with sure. Some people you feel safe and you can be yourself and all that.
And it's like sort of, you know, along the lines of again, a coping mechanism. It's a mask, right? It's a masking mm-hmm. technique that I've learned over these mm-hmm. to beat, you know, that person who's like the life of the party and very outgoing and all that stuff. But that I think internally that ends up draining me. So I was like,
well, yeah, I'm like, you're putting on a performance, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not
yeah.
the real you, man. Mm-hmm.
That's why I think I got good at it.
Like, sometimes
another thing I didn't have to worry about, like me, I was just like, now I'm doing that. Okay, that's fine.
Sure. I mean, I would say it's easier for a lot of people to pay more attention to the outside world than the inside world. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think that is uncommon by any stretch. And also I would say that like those skills, while perhaps maladaptive, or came from like a difficult place, have served you well, and like you still have all of those skills.
Yeah.
Of being able to turn it on and be an extrovert and be the life of the party.
Mm-hmm. 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 So it was very interesting, sort of introspection into myself that I was like, oh, okay, I guess we're going to start dealing with this now. That's fun.
Yeah.
But it actually was very like empowering too, in a way.
Yeah.
I felt like, not that I'm in therapy or anything, but I was, which wouldn't be a bad thing. I probably should be. But mom actually told me, she was like, maybe instead of taking you to a doctor who put you on like steroids for 2 years, I should have just put you in therapy. And I was like, yeah, you think?
We do our
best.
She did her best. And Mary's a great, great person. We love her very much.
No, I think that's great, man. I think like unraveling those things, and the closer we can get to our core, whatever that means at the time, is largely positive. And as I was listening to you talk, something that I have sat with and tried to think about recently was that just how much shit we pile on the ego, when honestly, like a healthy ego is incredibly important to being a healthy person. When it comes to taking up space, when it comes to having self-worth, knowing your self-worth, all of these things, and just how, you know, it gets derided in culture, and everyone's like, oh, the ego is your enemy and blah, blah, blah. And it can certainly lead us astray. But I think having a healthy, balanced ego is an important part of life, healthy life.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
yeah. I mean, because I've read a lot of stuff on what you're talking about, because I have the same tendencies, and it's not good for you or anyone else, because you're not representing your true self. It's a lie, essentially. So people don't know the real you, and I don't know. It makes you, I'm not speaking for you, but it makes you resentful after a while.
Just going to say.
Right?
For sure.
It screws you up. And then eventually you fucking explode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was also, and it's another part of this, I was sort of dissecting a lot of previous relationships because, like, I used to pride myself on the fact that, like, I don't fight with people that I'm in relationships with. You know, like, we never fought when my ex-girlfriend and I, we never fucking fought. But I was like, but that was because I was suppressing all of my feelings,
right?
To avoid a confrontation. Like it was just all avoidance tactics.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, and then, you know, so then I always feel bad. And again, like, you know, my wife and I, we've been married long enough to have had a few rows and, you know, express frustration. And it's really more about how you resolve those things that strengthens a relationship rather than having those, you know, outbursts or whatever, but it's all in how you resolve those things, I think. But I was like, so maybe that means this is a better relationship than those other ones, because we do fight on occasion. Like, and I'm expressing my needs and my frustrations and those kinds of things rather than just be like, and I think it took a while. It took a while for me to even get to that point in our relationship where I was, you know, And I've been realizing that, like, it's triggering for me when other people yell, like, who's not me? Or, like, you know, when other people fight in my presence or in my earshot.
I'm the same way.
It's super triggering for me. And I'm realizing now that I'm, like, just recently, like, you know, and I was like, that's not a bad thing that people argue. Like, it's not a bad thing to express mm-hmm. yourself and just, it, again, mm-hmm. it's all about how you resolve those things mm-hmm. and express them healthily and respectfully. But mm-hmm. like, no, you disagree?
Well, please. I think that there are rules of engagement, and like, I don't necessarily think yelling is okay. Like, there's ways to express anger. There's ways to get anger out of your system that don't involve yelling. And I'm not sure, that's a constructive use of anger. That's all.
Right. I would also argue my definition of yelling is very different than everyone else's. Like, yeah. arguing heated conversation is mm-hmm. like yelling to me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not physically yelling, but like when tensions start to run high, that's when Ben like starts to back mm-hmm. up and like, mm-hmm. okay, I'm going to throw some humor in here. Or I'm going to leave or
defuse
like, yeah,
the situation. You know. Sure.
And it's all these avoidance tactics that I realize are just like flight response. In a different way than like actually mm-hmm. physically removing myself from the situation.
Yeah.
It's diffusing it and avoiding that altogether.
Sure.
And it's very weird. So yeah, I feel like that's kind of a big breakthrough for me mentally to like mm-hmm. be like, oh, okay. And now I can identify these things and mm-hmm. hopefully it'll make me better at expressing myself mm-hmm. In that way to other people when I feel the need to.
And I would be curious too, what that would do also. So like we talked about the emotional toll on the body as far as like pooping so far, but
yeah.
Like when it comes to like those factors of leading up to burnout, because I think that there is like a relationship mm-hmm. between suppressing emotions and burning out. Not that I've seen yeah. any, like not that I've read anything about it, but I just like, I look at my own experience and yeah, just mm-hmm. something I think there's something there.
Interesting. Yeah. And I've been pretty fortunate that I haven't had a lot of like digestive problems since that sort of, I don't know if I just outgrew it or I just got to a point where I was somehow, you know, a miracle or whatever, but like physically I was fine after, mm-hmm. after the age of like, I don't know, 18, 20, 21, maybe.
Or you learned all of your diffusing tactics and they fucking worked. I mean, they hurt and like something else, but like they effectively, sure. you know, you yeah. did rob Peter.
hey, Paul. Right. Correct. Exactly. Sure. Well, that's a fair assessment as well. Yeah. But it was very interesting to me to sort of have that. And then it sort of started a conversation with my mom. Cause I was like, I don't remember like me being like I acted out as a teenager, but I don't think I ever directed it at anybody, you know, in a way that was like, you're my real dad.
Fuck like, you. I hate you. More than...
Yeah. Like, you know, I think it was always pretty easy going, but I was like, I feel like I was going through something obviously, but I was like, I don't remember fighting with my parents in a way that was like confrontational. I think the worst I ever did was sometime in middle school. They put the hammer down, they put the foot down and were like, okay, no, you got to do homework. You can't do this. You can't do this activity. I don't remember what was happening. Grades were slipping, whatever. And they just put down a lot of rules. And I like Martin Luther posted a grievance against a corrupt institution on their bedroom door. I'm like, this is why this rule is dumb. This is why this rule is dumb. But again, that was all written down. I didn't say that to them. I just posted it on their door and walked away.
Fuck. I hope they that still was have not that.
Confrontational. I doubt it. I don't know. I just got a big box of like old stuff, like school stuff. And
I know. Have you gone through it?
I started to. A lot of Civil War pictures in there.
Yeah, perfect.
It's a whole box of Civil War stuff. And then there was like some high school photos and show photos and stuff. So I found this one of me as Judge Wargrave from 10 Little Indians, Agatha Christie. Mm-hmm. Problematic name. We'll unpack that later. Mm-hmm. It's a murder mystery. And I played Judge Wargrave and I had these big like silver mutton chops glued to my face and like mm-hmm. all this old age makeup drawn on mm-hmm. with like makeup pencil crayon
mm-hmm.
and a pipe. I think I had a pipe and like a silver cane with a lion's head on it.
Ooh.
It was really cool. I bought it, I don't know, some used store or something.
Of course.
But what was so stupid was I was like really into my acting process at the age of 16. So I was like, okay. This is good. So this was my choice in all actuality. This was literally an acting choice I made. Wherever I was looking, the lion's head also would look. So like I would turn my head suddenly to the left and the cane would go whoop. It was so funny.
The little thing.
I thought it was hilarious, and I still do. And it was like, you know, it's a murder mystery. It's not funny. Like, it's not supposed to be funny. There's a little bit of humor written in there, but not for my character. My character was the bad guy. Spoilers. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, luckily they renamed that story, and then there were none.
Yes.
Did they really?
I think the rhyme is still in there.
It is, but the title of the book has been changed.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. That's look good.
It's a good book. I really enjoyed that story.
Nice.
But well, we did a stage adaptation, and
ooh,
it was good.
I mean, it was
all pre-existing. We didn't adapt it or anything, but...
That you are on a self-development journey and that you have the time and inclination to do such things.
Yeah. No, I sort of felt it was necessitated from sort of in this new job, and like it sort of got me thinking about it, because I was like, oh, I am not like, you know, there's a certain element of like, I have to get in touch with these people and say, hey, where is this? Where are we on this? Because it's due today or whatever. You know, you got to put on your big boy teacher pants and you got to say like, hey, I need you to do this. I know you're busy and I know this, you know, a little bit of confrontation, a little bit of conflict resolution, you know, everybody needing reminders and different things. And you got to sort of hardline some things. And that's not easy for me to do.
Yeah,
because I'm like, I'm trying to be nice and I'm the new guy and stuff. But I'm like, you know, but some of these things are necessary. Like you got to stay on top of these things or else it's all going to go to shit. So,
sure.
And that was sort of like, why am I avoiding this? Like, why is this so difficult for me? And that sort of started me down this path of like I have the skill set to do it, but I just don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it's like, I feel bad. I feel weird. They're going to hate me.
They might. Yeah. That's okay.
And that also this whole thing also led me to realize that, oh, I have a desperate need for approval as well, because that means that everyone's happy. If everyone's happy and they like me, you know, like, so
everything's okay,
or at least it's not my fault.
These are all the actor tropes in me that like come out, you know. It's just like, please love me. Tell me I'm okay.
I mean, that's like people pleasing behavior.
So it's just kind of interesting, and I feel like I've gained a bit of a new perspective on the whole thing, and I'm like, cool. I feel like it's some positive growth to come out of it eventually. Mm-hmm. And I think that's
a first step, man.
Yeah. For sure.
I definitely caught myself agreeing to something and then catching myself back. Do I really agree with this? Huh. And then realizing I don't, because my automatic response is to agree.
Yeah.
That's when you try and reprogram yourself.
No, it's not.
Yeah. When to like, do like how to check in with yourself and actually like, what do I think about this? And like even being able to give yourself the time and space.
Yeah.
I haven't really thought about it much in that context, but I do tend to, you know, say, make a statement. Somebody says something different. I'm like, well, yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah. Like,
I do that all
instantly backtrack. Right.
I fucking hate it.
I know.
Well, I mean, like, sometimes people do make good points.
Sometimes they do, but I'm talking about it almost happens all the time.
Like automatically.
Yeah, automatically. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. Good point. And then I'm like, whoa, I don't agree with that. Fuck that.
Yeah, I'd be like, you know what? The Book of Boba Fett was actually pretty good. You'd be like, well, yeah, I mean, there were good parts. Very okay.
So but that chase scene was pretty cool.
But like, I wonder too, with like that specifically, like if you want to keep, so where does that fit in with like, yes, and right? Like if you're gonna, like, if you're in a conversation with someone, if you are trying to keep the flow going and somebody brings up some sort of, you know, a point, right, that is opposite to yours, like without just like shutting down the rest of the conversation by being like, no, that's fucking wrong. Nope. Like, I think there's a tactful way to be like, oh, yeah, good point. Yeah, that's and
very not interesting point, I guess. You know, but I still think that this holds merit as well. My opinion is valid. I'm not just going to, again, retract it because I took up space with my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I'm worried that you won't like me. You won't like me anymore.
You won't like me if I don't, if you don't agree with what I'm saying, then obviously I'm wrong. And right.
When in truth, no one likes a big pussy. So, yeah.
Everybody likes small, tight pussies.
What did we? Wow, that took a turn.
I couldn't help it. I couldn't.
You're fine. No, you.
See,
you,
I did it. Yes, I just apologized. But I apologize for it. See, that's the difference.
And you noticed.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I said I'm sorry.
No one likes me. Oh God.
I'm sorry for being sorry.
I have to go. Sorry. I said I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about it. I'm sorry. This is my life. Welcome to the inner monologue.
It's just full of apologies.
Every time I say I'm sorry, my bowels let go. So
just getting closer and closer to that 80-year-old colon. Let me go let the dog in.
Perfect.
We have 2 minutes.
You're totally cool. Jeff, what are you reading these days?
I've been reading a little bit of Dune Messiah. Nice. I've been reading like shorter like poetry book.
What
Life like an advice.
Animal. Oh, is this the like Kevin Kelly shit? Or and those were like more like tweets. What
this is like Young Pueblo. I don't know if it's the way forward. It's kind of like poem style, but it's just positive affirmations, shit like that.
Interesting.
Just tidbits. I mean, they're not very long. They're like tweet length.
Yeah. Okay.
Tidbits. Quick reading.
Yeah. Like modern poet, or is it like a...
Oh, yeah. No, he's current.
Gotcha. He's
releasing books. He's good. I like him.
Sweet, man.
I like him. He's a good follow on Instagram.
Yeah. Nice. Dig it.
Mm-hmm. Do you read a lot of poetry, Jeff?
Some, not really. This isn't really, I guess you consider it poetry. I don't know. It's just short prose. It doesn't rhyme or shit. I don't know.
Not necessarily a requirement of poetry from what I
understand. It's fair. It's fair. Yes.
Yeah. I like the ones that rhyme.
I like haiku.
I used to write a bunch of rhyming haikus because I was silly. Well, we did that for the podcast too. We would write haikus.
Oh, that's right. Jesus.
I used to do it in high school, and I would write it about kids in my class and stuff.
Yeah. Our brains like novelty. They like wordplay.
It's true. It's true. There's that payoff that comes with, you know, like the anticipation of like, oh, it's going to be another word that starts with this letter. And then it does, like, a little bit of that.
Or even just
sweet dopamine.
Like, I think it's easier to remember phrases and things that have the rhyme. Like, I think they are stickier.
Well, that's an interesting point, but I think my opinion is still valid.
I don't think they contradict one another.
They can coexist.
You're right. They don't contradict each other. I'm sorry.
And I'm sorry.
It's so hard once I get in that mindset.
Notice it.
I'm becoming more aware of being, I'm noticing it. And that's the first.
That's what Jeff's. Yeah, exactly. Right? That's the only way we could change, man.
Mm.
Consciously, at least.
Yes. What time is it? Oh, well, it's just about that time. Time to sign off. Any last thoughts about personal development, growth, and I'll keep the podcast listeners appraised of my progress.
I look forward to disagreeing with you more often.
You're right. I'm sorry. Well, hey, everybody. Thank you. And we're not sorry, damn it, for listening to Ignorant and Uninformed, this little podcast that we do and just have fun with it. So we hope you're having fun too. Make sure you subscribe on whatever podcast or you listen to us on. You can send us a topic or get in touch with us at ignorantanduninformed@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Just let us know you're out there. That's really all the approval that my little damaged heart is seeking. So just let us know you like the podcast and you listen. You don't even tell me if you like it. Please don't. Please don't tell me if you, I'm sorry. We'll see you next week with a brand new episode of Hot Ass Freshness all up in your grill. Peace off. I'm sorry.